Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
The word of the Lord comes to you. You've brought your broken heart into my presence today, and I'm going to heal you. You've brought your pain into my throne room. Your disappointment is before me, and I see the hurt, and I see the pain, and I see the letdown. And I would say to you that I'm blowing upon your heart. I am breathing upon your heart. This day, I am restoring your soul, says the Lord. Understand that I have a supply of grace and power that will fill you like nothing else. It will touch you like nothing else. My love is landing on your heart today because you are in my presence, and you will not leave broken, and you will not leave wounded. I am healing you and strengthening you. Receive my love. Receive my grace, says the Lord, for I will cause you to be strong, and you will face every challenge, every circumstance with the heart of a lion, not a whimpering heart, not a broken heart. I'm giving you the heart of the lion of the tribe of Judah, for I am in you, says the Lord. I'm going to put the roar back into your faith. I'm going to put the strength back into your spirit, says the Lord. And from this day, you're going to walk in newness of life, so says the Spirit of the Lord. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you. Let's give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Yes, yeah. Come on, baby.
This week.
Yeah, is it on? Okay, there we go.
This week in my devotions, I've just been running across a lot of the scriptures that say that God is pleased when we give a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. And so to kind of dovetail on top of what Pastor David was saying and prophesying, that God wants to just come in and do healing in our heart.
Thank you, Lord.
And do it, one Lord. Way that he does that, one thing that God responds to is when, even when we're hurting and we go through those times of bruising, that we just thank God.
Yeah.
The Bible says That's that right. we're to give thanks in all things. So, Lord, we even thank
yes,
you for the hard things
yes,
that
Lord.
We go through,
yes,
God.
Lord. Yes,
we
Lord.
Just want to lift up a sacrifice
Amen.
Of thanksgiving
Hallelujah,
to you this
Lord.
Morning.
We praise you. You're
Father,
still worthy,
I just
Lord.
Pray for
yes,
your people.
God.
And Lord, as we lift up that sacrifice of
yes,
thanksgiving,
Lord.
God, would you just pour in that oil? Would you just pour in that healing?
Yes, Lord.
Father, would you just touch your
yes,
people this
God.
Morning?
Yes, Lord.
Father, we just thank you
oh,
for
thank you,
what you want to do in the hearts of your people this morning. We just lift up a sacrifice of thanksgiving to
yes,
you this morning.
Father.
In Jesus' name,
in
amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. That's so good. That's where the healing is. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, guys, here we are. We're together again. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. And we've been in a series for 6 weeks on one word, which is the word pursue. Everyone say pursue. Today, we're wrapping this whole thing up. And what a joyous complement of testimonies we've been receiving from the grow groups that have been doing this pursue material, and everybody's been so blessed by it. We've been hearing from the campuses that everyone has been so blessed and encouraged. And the thought of this is just a very simple thought, which is, you know, you don't get what you deserve in life. You don't get what you hope for. You get what you go for. And you've got to pursue. And when you want love, when you want peace, and when you want God in your life, there's a certain pursuit. You don't wait for it to come to you. You kind of go after it. And I believe that's really a key for moving forward in our lives. And today we're going to talk about pursuing the enemy. And I believe there's going to be a rich blessing left behind after this message in your life. We're going to pray at the end. We're going to have a great time at the end. By the way, I want to mention, if you're one of our elders or an elder in training, I have not seen you in the last week, if you and I have not had a conversation, if you don't know the last few developments of the last week or so, I would like to have an update meeting with our elders just right here, right after the service. 10 minutes, nothing bad, just some news that I want to share with you that's actually very good, and I want you to hear it from me, some exciting news at the end of the service, so I'll remind you there. But we're going to talk about pursuing the enemy, and the basic idea of this message this morning is that in our ultimate pursuit, which is pursuing Jesus and pursuing everything that God has, there are times when we have to pursue our enemy, that there is a time for us in our lives. Yes, God is a God of love, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and we're even told that if our ways please the Lord, he'll make our enemies at peace with us, and yet there is a spiritual enemy of your soul, and you are not to make peace with that enemy. Can I have a hallelujah here? So contrary to our current culture, which is everybody wants to get along, nobody wants to offend, and there's no such thing as an enemy. It's a culture sometimes of appeasement regarding strong enemies and adversaries, and yet in our dealings with the enemy of our soul, there is to be no negotiating, no feeling the devil's pain, no identifying with his cause. In fact, there is to be a warring attitude in our lives toward the one who makes war on us, the enemy. And to strengthen this idea, I want to read from our theme passage. It's there on your teaching outline, and we have it on the screens. It's from the 31st chapter, or the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, and it's about one of my heroes in the faith. His name is King David. It said, now David was, he was what? Greatly. Have you ever been greatly distressed? David was greatly distressed, and the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David did something. He did what? He strengthened himself. We're going to talk about that today. If you're distressed, there is strength for you in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And then David said to Abiathar, the priest Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I, what?
Pursue.
Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And the Lord answered him, pursue. Everyone say pursue. For you shall surely overtake them, and without fail, recover all. Hallelujah. The Hebrew word pursue in this passage means to run after the enemy with hostile intent. To run after the enemy with hostile intent. I know we all want to be Mr. Nice Guy. I know we all want to be accepted. I know we all want to, you know, we all want to be kind, and that's good. But in the battles of life, there are times when evil is going to come at you. There are times when a thief is going to come at you, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking. An enemy is going to come and attack you with discouragement and take what belongs to you, what is actually yours in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, you've got to be something more than just Mr. Nice Guy. Everyone say, no more Mr. Nice Guy. There are times where we have to rise up and say, oh, no, you don't. I'm not letting go of my peace. I'm not letting go of my joy. My family is not going to be hit this way. I'm not going to take this. I'm going to actually, I may have been hit. I may have been raided like David was at Ziklag, but I'm going to rise up in the strength of God, and I'm going to go after it, all right? So we're going to pursue. That means we're going to run with hostile intent after the enemy. It's an example of this that I think will help clarify. Before the great leader Winston Churchill was leading Britain, Neville Chamberlain was the British Prime Minister. That was between 1937 and 1940. And like many who'd lived through World War I, Neville Chamberlain was determined to avert more war. The world had been through so much, and it was like, just no more war. We just don't want that. And his famous appeasement toward Adolf Hitler culminated in something called the Munich Agreement, in which Britain and France accepted that more land should be ceded over to Germany. Chamberlain left Munich believing that by pleasing Hitler, and he even announced that by pleasing Hitler, he had achieved peace in our time. That was his declaration. But we know, of course, that Hitler had absolutely no plans for peace, but to take as much territory as he would be allowed to take. So Hitler would only be stopped by those who believed what I'm talking about today. And that is that there is a time that some enemies are to be pursued with hostile intent, and we cannot have an attitude of appeasement toward our spiritual enemies. Now, today, thankfully, we're not dealing with a Hitler, and we're not. I'm not even preaching to you about political matters and appeasement and so on. I'm talking about in the battle for your soul. In the battle for the peace that God wants you to have. There are times where we've been through so much, it may be second nature to us to say, you know what, I just don't want to fight anymore. I just don't want to fight anymore. I'll just let go. I'll just slack. And what happens when we adopt an attitude of spiritual appeasement toward the enemy of our soul? There is a problem. Now, Jesus addressed the need for us to be strong, the need for us to be forceful, all right? And Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he says, violent men seize it. The kingdom of heaven, seize the kingdom of heaven by force. And the Amplified Version says, as for a precious prize, a share in the heavenly kingdom that is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. In other words, what Jesus was saying, he was saying, when you want something in the kingdom of God, you've got to take it. You got to pursue it. You've got to move toward the goal that you have. And if the enemy is in the way, you've got to push past the enemy. The enemy of our soul doesn't usually show up with a name tag that says, hi, I'm the enemy of your soul. He's not carrying a pitchfork and wearing horns. He comes in different ways. The adversary uses spiritual and emotional tactics to try to defeat us. He wants to get us off target. He wants us to get off course in life and onto something or someone else. We are in a spiritual battle, and the enemy will throw discouragement at you. And he will throw, you know, when you go through your own personal zigzags, you know, the experience that David went through, which I'll unpack in just a moment. You go and you see loss, or you go and you see that something has changed in your world in a way that breaks your heart. And right away, the enemy is there to hit you with discouragement and cause you to want to draw back and say, you know what? I quit. I give up. I give up on my faith. I give up on prayer. I give up on believing God. It's not working. You know, life is too hard. But when you do that, you are ceding territory to the enemy of your soul. And what Jesus is saying is, if you want the kingdom of God, you've got to push for it. You've got to pursue. You've got to be aggressive. And sometimes when the enemy comes at you, you've got to knock him back. Can I have an amen here this morning? So we have an enemy. And here we have one of the great Bible stories of Scripture. One of the great Bible stories that demonstrates what I'm talking about in this message. Although David was anointed king, at this time, David was still a fugitive from the current king, which was Saul, who was commanding the kingdom. And David was about to inherit the kingdom, but he was a fugitive, and he was living in a town called Ziklag. And after fighting many battles for the Lord, and upon returning back to his camp at Ziklag, David and his men of war found that Ziklag had been burned with fire, their goods stolen, and their families taken captive. What a disaster. You're off doing what you think you should be doing. You're off fighting a battle over here, and come to find out when that battle is over, even if that battle is victorious, you know, you may have done well there. And then you come back and you find out, while you were doing this, the enemy was doing that. And sometimes life just comes at you faster than you can react. You can't cover all the bases all the time. And David was doing the right thing, and he was God's man, and God loved him, and he was doing the right thing. But even while he was doing the right thing, he suffered a loss. And it was a personal loss. It was a family loss. Something happening very close to him, his wives and his children, and the wives and children of his men taken captive, and his camp burned to the ground. It says in the Bible, in the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, that they were so devastated by finding this situation that they wept intensely over their loved ones, and the Bible describes them as having no more power to weep. Have you ever cried until you just have no more tears? Until your voice is hoarse? until your eyes are swollen. I mean, these guys were devastated. Truly, truly, when we read those words, that David was greatly distressed, we can understand that emotional condition very, very well. David was doing his best to honor his God. And when he and his loyal followers encounter this huge tragedy, now, to make things worse, David's men who were loyal to him, this was his posse, these were his guys, right? They look at David now, and in their bitterness and in their anger, they turn on their leader. Have you ever felt angry towards someone that didn't do anything to you? Have you ever felt like you just need to take it out on somebody, so you're going to take it out on whoever's closest to you? And so, on top of this devastating loss, now they're turning on each other. David is at a low point. Not only has he lost his family, but now he's lost the love and loyalty of his soldiers. It was under these circumstances, however, that we find this theme passage that we read, that David, though he was distressed, he encouraged himself in the Lord. And he inquired of the Lord, and he said, Lord, shall I, under these terrible circumstances, should I quit? Should I just give up right now? Should I just bag it and say, forget it? My life is ruined. Everything is devastated. My whole world has been crushed and destroyed. Or should I stand up and run after these guys and get my family back? And the Lord says to him, I want you to pursue. Everyone say pursue. He said, I want you to get up. I want you to dry your tears. I want you to form a posse and go get your family, because you're going to get it all back and more. I love this story. Now, if you're watching this by video and you're in your small group, take your lesson number 6 of your Pursue Guide and begin to follow the directions and work through the material and have a great small group. The rest of us are going to talk about three things that happen when we pursue, all right? Those that pursue the enemy experience, number 1, they strengthen themselves when they are in distress. Let me talk to you about strengthening yourself. It says David was greatly distressed, but he strengthened himself in the Lord his God, and he inquired of the Lord. I would love to say that everybody around you can read your mind and they know just exactly what to say when your world comes crashing down, and they get it and they connect with you and they're always there for you. I think that a lot of that is possible in a great community like ours, but not 100% of the time. There are times when the only person that can strengthen you is you. And you can look for help from other people, but it may not be available. And as a mature follower of Jesus Christ, as a disciple of the Lord, you got to reach inside and find a way to push your own button and encourage yourself and make a choice at the worst possible time, when you are down and when you are distressed and when there truly is nobody to help you, you got to help yourself. And this is what David said, I'm going to encourage myself, even though I am greatly distressed. In fact, the word distress, it says that David was distressed. It's a Hebrew word, and it means to come and be squeezed into a narrow place. Have you ever been squeezed into a narrow place? You know, you can't move this way, you can't move that way. It's almost like you're suffocating. There's no breathing room in this circumstance. Sometimes when trouble comes, it comes at you from every direction, and you're squeezed into a place of distress. But instead of caving into the pressure, David strengthened himself. That Hebrew word for strengthen means he fastened upon, he seized, and he conquered. In other words, he conquered himself. Because in times of discouragement, guys, and you know this because you've been there just like I have. In times of discouragement, you're either going to be completely wiped out and devastated, or you're going to face that thing within you that says, I want to quit and I need to quit and I can't take it anymore. You got to conquer that inside first before you conquer the enemy. There's a quit on the inside of every one of us. I feel it. And I've been there before. And I would say to you, if you're at a place where you are feeling like quitting, that's normal. That's okay. Just don't ever do it. Reach inside and say, first, before I can conquer the enemy, I've got to conquer this thing on the inside of me that says I want to quit. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. He got a grip. And that is that first step that we've got to take. You know, very, very recently, just over the last few weeks, not too long ago, I was facing a distressing, narrow place. I'm a man of peace. I'm a person that I just like it when people get along. That's my nature. I don't like conflict. I don't like people at war with each other. And I don't like it when, worlds start colliding. I like things in order. I like the body of Christ to work correctly. I don't like there to be offenses. And I don't like there to be hurts. And I don't like there to be sharp words spoken about it. And I don't like to hear that people are saying bad things about other people. And other people are retaliating about other people. And I don't know why that triggers me more than anything else in life. I mean, financial problems, I don't like them. I don't like health problems. But there's something about conflict that just grabs me on the inside and breaks my heart. And as you can imagine, doing what I do, there are at times people that are having problems with each other. And I was going through something like that, trying to mediate a situation like that. And it was just pressing me into a narrow place. But I remembered this message, and I remembered what God had for me. And I said to myself, this is either going to take me under. Because you know what it's like. You know, your stomach starts to hurt. Has anybody else gone through stuff like this? Your stomach starts to hurt. You can't sleep at night. You're thinking about it all the time when you're driving. And whatever it is, it doesn't have to be conflict. Maybe you have a different, kind of pet peeve. But boy, I tell you, when that thing comes, and people that I love are at each other, it gets me right here. And I was feeling it and just wrestling with those feelings, and I could feel discouragement trying to come. I work so hard. This is what all we're trying to do is build the kingdom. All we're trying to do is preach the gospel. That's all we're trying to do. We're not trying to do crazy stuff. We're just trying to preach the gospel and get people saved and get their lives to change. And we're clashing, and we're colliding, and I was down. But I said to myself, I'm not going to stay down. I got to get up here. I got to get moving pretty fast, because I can either let discouragement rule me, or I can encourage myself. Have you ever felt distressed? Have you ever felt discouraged? Have you ever been overtaken with anxiety and worry and been so upset and sleepless and your stomach hurts? And what do you do in a time like that? What do you do at that moment? You have to strengthen yourself. Now, how do you strengthen yourself? Maybe different things work for you. Maybe it goes differently for you than for me, but I strengthen myself. There are a few things that I do to strengthen myself. First of all, I get quiet. I get really quiet. When I get to that place, I have to get away from people. It's not that I don't need a lot of advice and all of that, but I've got to think. And to help me think and help me get a grip on myself and my moods, I go to the book of Psalms. I don't know if this works for you, but I like to read the Bible when I'm down. Because the Bible talks to me and it strengthens me and it helps me. I'll go into the Psalms and I'll start praying, and I'll start praying the verses and the passages that I'm reading, and I'll get a hold of myself, and sometimes I'll rest. Because for me, strengthening myself, I notice that when I'm physically tired, it's very easy for me to get hit. How many of you have noticed that as well? When you're in a place of exhaustion, it's very easy for you to get kind of dark on the inside. So sometimes I'll rest in the Lord, and then I start praying in the Holy Spirit, and I start meditating on God's promises, and I start declaring. I think Pastor Albert was talking about declaring earlier in the service. I'll start declaring that I'm going to rise up, that I start encouraging myself. And I do it with prayer. I do it with the Bible. I do it by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, as Ephesians 5 says, and I start encouraging myself. Maybe your method works a little bit differently, but I think you better figure out, as a follower of Jesus, and especially if you are a leader, listen to me, if you are a David and you are doing what God wants you to do, you will be hit. You will be attacked. If you are raising your children, if you are doing what God has called you to, if you're standing and doing all the right things, you would think that you would be bulletproof. Nothing can touch you. But here we see a man who is doing God's will. Absolutely, positively, he is God's man, a man after God's own heart. And even he is getting hit, and even his guys are turning on him. And he's at a point where he says, there is nobody, literally no one to strengthen me but myself. So I will do this myself. And David stirred himself. And so the first point is, those that pursue the enemy must strengthen themselves when they are in distress. Hallelujah. I'm so glad today that I'm never alone, that Jesus Christ is always with me. I'm so glad that, and by the way, that situation is turning out fine, and it's just a temporary thing, and it's not even a big deal. It's not even anything that any of you will even hear about. But for me, it's something that hits me. And from time to time, what hits you? Does depression hit you? Does discouragement hit you? Does fear hit you? Does physical pain hit you? What is your Ziklag? What's on fire in your life? You've got a choice to make. I encourage you. Make the choice of strengthening yourself in the Lord. Amen? Because God is with you. Christ is with you. And it's really the power of the cross. It's really the victory that Jesus has already won. Because in life, you're not fighting battles on your own. Actually, your battle has already been won by Jesus Christ, who has overcome. We sang the song earlier about Jesus who overcame. And if we are in Jesus, we are more than overcomers. Can I have hallelujah? All right, let's move quickly to the second verse. I'm losing time here. I'm telling too many personal stories, but I hope you're getting something out of this message today. Say amen if you are. Amen. Those that pursue the enemy, number two, overtake their enemies. Not only do they encourage themselves when they are in distress, but they overtake their enemies. You are a David. You are a mighty man of God. You are a mighty woman of God. And you are not going to let this thing drag you down. You are not going to be defeated. This is not the end for you. I'm prophesying to you, this is not your end. You are going to rise up, and you are going to pursue, and you are going to overtake, and you're going to recover all. When David inquired of the Lord, should I do this? Should I pursue? Then the Lord answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them. And then it says, then David attacked them from the twilight until the evening of the next day. David hammered them for 24 hours. And not a man of them escaped. Boy, I tell you, David was a sweet psalmist of Israel. He loved God. He wrote Psalm 23. He loved the Lord. He talked about, you know, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and God is with me, and the sheep, and the coming to the pastures and the water. But when David was at war, he had a little bit of a different personality. He wasn't so heavy on the poetry. He was a little heavier on the wrath, on the vengeance. And you know, there's a side of every one of us that's sweet and loving and kind, but there's also that bear on the inside of us. You'd let somebody touch one of your kids or one of your grandkids, or let somebody talk about your husband or your wife or whatever, and boy, that something starts to rise up on the inside of you. And it's the same reflex when the enemy comes to take your peace, and he comes to mess with your family and deal with your circumstances and rip you off and all that. There's got to be a little bit of a warrior that rises up in you. Are you a warrior? Or are you a pussycat? All right? No more Mr. Nice Guy. All right? Not when it comes to the enemy. Now, be nice to each other. As I said, I don't like conflict. But no more Mr. Nice Guy when it comes to the enemy. You got to understand who your real enemy is. By the way, your real enemy is not in your house. Your real enemy is not in your church. It's not in your ministry.
Your real enemy is not in Washington or in Sacramento. Your real enemy is the enemy himself. So those that pursue the enemy have to overtake their enemy. And whether your enemy is fear, or whether it's rejection, or whether you're wrestling with addiction or discouragement, you have to run after that thing. You got to pursue it. You can't let it control you. You've got to get on the offense. Get on the offense in your life. Get on the offense. Stop playing defense all the time. Stop reacting to everything that is said. Stop reacting to everything that is done. You spend your whole day just reacting to he said this and she said that and they did this and it's all a reaction. Get on the offense in your life. Start moving in a good and positive direction and let all of that other stuff just pass by. Don't get caught up in all the drama. Start to pursue and start to overtake the enemy. It's like when the children of Israel went into the promised land. Joshua was the captain of their salvation. Joshua was their military leader, and he led them in, and they fought the giants, and they took the land. You are a Joshua. You are somebody that is going in to possess something that God has already promised you. It's yours in Jesus Christ. Peace is yours. Love is yours. Hope is yours. Faith is yours. Now get on the offense and go after it. And start claiming what God has said is yours. When the enemy came in and took David's wives, those were David's. Those were David's children. That was David's stuff. Don't let the enemy take what belongs to you. Men, don't stand by while the enemy comes and torments members of your family with addiction and depression and discouragement. Get on your knees. Start going after it. Don't say, well, I don't know what to do. My life is terrible right now. Bad things are happening. Get on the offense. Begin to fast. Begin to pray. Go after it in the Holy Spirit. Begin to make declarations. And take your stand and see it through. Don't just start to work on your marriage. Don't just start to work on your financial situation. See it all the way through until you have recovered everything that you have lost. These guys overtook their enemies. They were in a place that Paul the Apostle faced. Tell me if you've ever been in a place like this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet we are not crushed. Watch this. We are perplexed. We're confused. I don't get it, God. But not in what? Despair. We're persecuted. We got enemies. Stuff is happening. And man, it hurts. But we are not forsaken. Everyone say, I am not forsaken. Because there are times when it'll feel to you like, you know, God himself has turned his back on you. And you might be tempted to say, God, why have you forsaken? Remember this verse. You're not forsaken. You're perplexed. You're discouraged. You're in distress. It's real. But you are not cast down. You are not in despair. You are not forsaken. You are struck down, but you are not destroyed. You are still breathing. Hallelujah. And I promise you, that's a sign of God's love in your life. Because if it was up to the enemy, you wouldn't even be here. You'd have been dead a long time ago. But the Lord has been your shelter. He's been your rock. He's been your defense. He has kept you through every nightmare and every storm. And you're still breathing. You might be struck down, but you're not destroyed. So rise up. Rise up today. And encourage yourself. And begin to go after, pursue it. And believe God. Now there's one more thing that I'll say, and the worship team is going to come, and we're going to pray and have some Holy Spirit time, but let me just give you this third point. Those that pursue the enemy get everything back and more. Now watch this. Here's the good news. You say, why did God allow this to happen to me? Why did God allow such a disaster to take place in my life? Why is my family hurting? Why did I lose my job? Why is my world crumbling? Why did my loved one have to pass away or go through a divorce or be hospitalized? Whatever it is. Why is this happening? It's perplexing sometimes, isn't it? Let me give you at least this much of an explanation. I don't speak for God. I don't know why bad things happen to good people. I'm not sure. But I do know this, that David, after he lost everything that he lost, he got it all back and more. So maybe for you, the answer is this. Maybe the pathway from where you were to a place that is better, to a place called more, maybe that pathway involved loss, but see it through all the way to the end, because you're going to get back everything. If you pursue, if you rise up, if you encourage yourself, you're going to get everything back that the enemy stole, plus more. How many would like to go to a place called more in your life? More joy, more peace, more life. I believe that is here for us. And I believe the Spirit of God is heavily, heavily anointing your heart today to restore you, to give you light, to give you strength. You may have come into this place discouraged, but I want to tell you, David recovered it all. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Have you lived that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord, what? Delivers them out of them, what? All. You're going to be delivered. You're going to be free. And you know what? The enemy's going to have to pay. He's going to have to cough it up. He's going to have to cough it up. He should have never touched you. He should have never attacked you. He should have never attacked Jesus. He would have been better if Jesus Christ had never died on that cross. But because Jesus Christ died on that cross at the worst possible moment, here in a few weeks we're going to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. I mean, you think it's bad, it's in the grave, he's dead for 3 days. It looks like all the hopes of the disciples are crushed beyond any possibility of, this was Jesus. What? He never did anything wrong. And the people rose up and crucified him, but he died, and it was bad. He was down, but he didn't stay down. He rose. Come on, somebody. It's called resurrection. And you know what? Resurrection is living on the inside of you. There is absolutely, positively hope for your life and your situation. And I want to pray for you. And I want to ask God just to encourage your life right now. Bow your heads, everyone. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this time in your word. I thank you for this beautiful Old Testament story that communicates a very powerful truth. Sometimes we need to rise up and fight. Sometimes we need to pursue the things that we have lost. Lord, I pray for people in this room today who are facing problems at work, problems at home, discouraging situations, Lord, in their family life or in their financial life. Lord, they're cast down, but they're not destroyed. I just declare that in Jesus' name. I declare that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in them and will quicken them, and they will rise up. They will encourage themselves in the Lord their God. They will pursue, they will overtake, and they will recover all with the help of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for that victory that Jesus gives to every one of us. Let us grab hold of that victory that is Christ's, the victory of over death, hell, and the grave, the victory over sin and death that is ours through Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that we can be forgiven. Thank you that we can have a second chance. Thank you that it's by your mercies, Lord, that we, even though we're not perfect, Lord, that you will bless us and we will recover all. Thank you for your forgiveness today. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. Forgive us of the times when we just wanted to quit and we didn't see another way. Lord, wash us clean and renew us in the Holy Spirit today. Let us rise up today as never before to serve you and to experience all that you have given us, Lord, in Christ. Hallelujah. Just while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, I want to have a special prayer with any of you that are discouraged, I want to pray for people that you say, Pastor David, this was me. You are preaching to me. I've just been in that narrow place. I've been battling. I've been struggling. And it's been really hard. But by God's grace, I'm going to rise up and I'm going to pursue. If that's you, would you just lift your head? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just lift your hand. There's many hands. Pastor David, that's me. I'm rising up today. I'm making the decision today. I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to be unseated. I'm going to rise up in grace and in power. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for every person whose hand is raised. I ask you to do a miracle in their life, Lord. I ask you to give them strength like they've never known it before. Lord, I prophesy and declare turnaround and grace and power over their hearts, Lord. Father, I declare they will not leave this place, Lord, the same way they came in. They will leave in a brand new level of strength and victory, Father, in Jesus' name. Now just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for another moment. If you're here today and you've never received Christ, you don't know what it means to be forgiven. You don't know what it means to have your sins washed away and to know God, to have a relationship with God. I don't want to close this service without praying for you. If you're here today and you feel like you're far away from God because you don't know him and you've never given your heart to him, but you're ready to take a step today and give your heart to Jesus, to invite him into your heart, to change you forever. If that's you, if you're here today, would you just raise your hand? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, wherever you are. Is there someone here today? You say, Pastor David, pray for me. I've never given my life to Christ, but I'd like to do that today. Hallelujah. All right, everyone, let's stand together. Can we stand? Hallelujah. Would you just lift your hands and just thank the Lord? Come on. Just in faith. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mighty Holy Spirit. We're going to worship the Lord here for a few minutes, and the ushers are going to serve you. You'll have a chance to worship the Lord with your giving. Grab an envelope, do your giving, and let's, as the worship team plays, let's just have Holy Spirit time. And let him touch us. Thank you, Father.
The Father's love came pouring down for us. He has overcome.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
The spotless lamb for every sinner slain. Our victory, our hope beyond the grave.
Let's lift our hands together, God. You've overcome the grave for us.
The Son of God, high and lifted up.
The Father.
The Father's love came pouring down for us. He has overcome. Has overcome.
Hallelujah. And invite some of our prayer team members to come down here now. If you're one of our elders and you've connected with me over the last few days and you know some of the news and things that I wanted to update you on, I'd love for you to be on the prayer team today. But I'm going to ask elders that haven't connected with me over this last week to come just for 10 minutes. And so this way we'll have plenty of people to pray. If you need healing prayer, if you need a touch, we're here and we want to minister to you. This afternoon, we have a very special opportunity for you to connect with ministry. If you're in a place of discouragement, if you're in a place of need, our Gateway Healing Center is taking place today. Pastor John's going to mention a few details about that, and then he's going to speak a blessing over all of us today. All right, so get ready to receive a blessing.
Great. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Also, if you haven't been baptized yet, on the way out of this service, stop in at the table and get your name signed like you'll want your certificate to have it said. Pick up a t-shirt to be baptized in, and I will see you right after second service today.
Okay, awesome.
And then later on is the Gateway Healing Center. Today's focus is going to be prophecy about God speaking to you and you hearing God.
Awesome.
And there will be personal ministry for you if you show up.
Awesome. 3 o'clock, okay. Right?
3 o'clock.
Right here?
Right here.
Awesome.
Right in this room. So, are you ready for the blessing?
Let's lift our hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Psalm 139 says, "The Lord will go before you and prepare your way."
Thank you, Lord.
"The Lord will go behind you and take care of you, protect you. And the Lord will place his hand of favor and blessing upon your head as you walk forward in him." In Jesus' name, all God's people said,
amen. 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 God bless you, everybody. We love you. Thank you for coming today and making it an hour earlier than you wanted to be here, right? Right. All right. Love you guys. If you need prayer, come forward. And elders, if I could huddle with you, standing meeting, 10 minutes here. Right here at the front.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our